Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Hey, if you would like to listen to American Family Radio, this show, or any of our programs, and you don't have, maybe you're traveling somewhere that doesn't have one of our radio, in an area that does not have one of our radio stations, you can always listen on the internet or download our app, our American Family Radio app. It's free to download, and then you can listen anywhere in the world, clear as a bell, to American Family Radio. So just download the app, go to the app store on your cell phone or your iPad or your electronic mobile device of your choice, and download the app and listen to American Family Radio anywhere in the world. It's easy to do. It takes about 60 seconds to download the app. Thousands of people are using the app now to listen to American Family Radio. As I say, many of them live in places that don't have a radio station, American Family Radio. Coming up in, Ed Battagliano co-hosting with me today. Coming up in just a few minutes, who do we have scheduled?
Yeah, we're going to have Caleb Anderson, who leads Mariners Church in Huntington Beach, California. He's author of Favor with Kings, God's Purpose, Your Passion, and the Process of Doing Great Things. So Caleb Anderson will be our guest.
Arnold Palmer died.
Yes, 87 years old, was he? Or
last night, I saw it come across the screen that Arnold Palmer had passed away. Of course, he is an American icon.
He was like the first golf superstar, wasn't he? I mean, marketed, yeah. You know. And
he is considered to be the person. He's credited by almost everyone as being the person who made the game of golf more than just a country club
right
game, but that sort of an everyman's game. So he came from a humble background.
Yeah.
His dad was a greenskeeper, I think, who ran a golf course, who worked at keeping
worked for
a,
it
for a golf course. Yeah, yeah. And so he went on to become a legend. And then he parlayed that into a business world. He designed golf courses and then made up his own drink. You know,
the Arnold Palmer was half tea and half lemonade. Was it?
See, you've never played golf in your life.
I've heard of it.
And
yeah.
you know what an Arnold Palmer is?
Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, it's half lemonade, half tea.
Yeah.
That's, in fact, you can buy the Arnold Palmer, you can buy them at the grocery store, already ready-made.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you can buy the little squirt.
Now, was it, as far as you know, was he a Christian man?
I do not know. I think he was a member of a church. But
okay, yeah, you know.
I don't know about his walk with the Lord or not, but I know he was a gentleman.
Yeah.
And he was a great spokesperson for the game of golf. And as I say, he was known. There are a few people in sports or politics or government or business that everybody knows who they are, even though they don't follow that particular whatever it is, sport
right.
or business. Everybody knows who Donald Trump is,
right?
Even though you don't know about the business world that he's involved
right.
in. Everybody knows who Arnold Palmer is. Most everybody, maybe it's a little bit of a generational situation. I don't know if 30-year-olds.
But Tiger Woods would be a.
But Tiger Woods, everybody
comparable.
Knows who Tiger Woods
right.
is, even if they don't care anything about golf. So
right.
It's that kind of situation with Arnold Palmer.
Michael Jordan in basketball would have been another in the 90s.
Exactly. 90s. That kind of situation. So anyway, that's I don't. You said he was 87.
I thought I saw. I was just
Arnold
glancing.
Palmer. I'm talking about 87 years old, but that happened. Yes, 87 years old. We had some callers say ask people to pray for the debate tonight, and we do ask you. We have had some fun with this, and it is going to be. But there are. it does matter who's elected president.
Right.
And so we can't endorse candidates here at American Family Radio.
And we can't disfavor candidates either.
Right. But we can tell you where the candidates stand on issues.
Right.
And what their track record is.
And ask you to register and right. and vote when the time comes.
And we've done a lot of that. And we will continue to do that. So I would ask you, I would agree with the callers. Let's pray for...
Everyone should be praying about...
Right.
Should always be doing that. But this seems to be a particularly important election. So we do encourage people to pray.
I will say this for Donald Trump. He has shored up support among Christians that he's trying to get on his side by his appointments on, and not just Christians, but others who are pro-lifers,
right.
By his commitment to having her name escapes me, but she's the leader of the Susan B. Anthony organization, and they're as pro-life as you can get, the Susan B. Anthony organization. What
right.
is her...
We've
had her on our program. Anyway, but the lady who's the head of the Susan B. Anthony organization, she was named by Donald Trump as his pro-life to help lead his pro-life efforts. Donald Trump's I'm talking about.
Right.
And so that was a big commitment by him to the pro-life cause is what
Dannenfelser.
What?
Marjorie Dannenfelser.
Okay, yeah, we've had her on before.
She's the Susan B. Anthony List president.
I should have, and I know
her. It's a mouthful, her name, Dannenfelser.
Right,
it
just, my mind went blank there. But she, that's to Donald Trump's credit if you hold a pro-life position.
Right.
And you advocate for pro-life, then he's done, you have to laud him for this decision.
Right, as opposed to, and we do make clear what the
right.
candidate's positions are, Hillary Clinton is...
She's proud of this.
She's proud of her pro-abortion stance. She's proud of her support for Planned Parenthood, and she defended Planned Parenthood even when videos came out indicating mm-hmm. that that Planned Parenthood appeared to be selling aborted baby body parts. It's hard to say. For a number of reasons. And so she's fully in support of the abortion industry.
Yeah, so on the pro-life front, Donald Trump's done himself... He's done himself some good. Now, you might say to me, yeah, but Tim, what if he's not telling the truth? What if he's just doing this for show? Well, I would say to you, wow, that would be the first time that's ever happened in politics now, wouldn't it? You know what? You have to be wise, and you have to understand people, try to understand what politicians do and try to match that. But if Donald Trump is telling one here on this pro-life commitment, hiring the leader of the Susan B. Anthony organization to be his spokesperson on pro-life issues is not a good way to trick people.
Right. You got to make up your mind based on the available information. That's
right.
All. That's all a voter can do.
Right.
So you know, if a person's an absolute liar and has fooled everyone, none of us have the information I'm talking about.
Right.
Does not include knowing what's in a person's heart.
Right.
So that's true
right.
about anybody. You know, it could be that Hillary Clinton's fooling everybody, pretending to be pro-abortion. You know, and then when she becomes president, she suddenly becomes pro-life. Well, nobody knows those kinds of things. You got to go by based on what they have said.
And their track record. And what they've done in the past. So, but I would be willing to bet my house you're wrong on that one.
Oh, yeah. Huh? Well, what I'm saying is.
Again, not a betting man.
Yeah.
This is metaphorically speaking.
For the third time, this program.
Yes. I sound like a compulsive gambler. With all my I'm willing to bet statements,
yeah.
But it's just a figure.
And your over-under explanation.
Yes,
well, if you're not a betting man, how do you know that?
It's just a figure of speech, folks. I do not need help for my gambling problem. All right, you're listening to
You could quit anytime you wanted, right?
I could quit anytime. I could quit anytime I want. All right, you're listening to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our guest now
is... Yeah, we're going to get a little more spiritual.
Yeah.
We want to welcome Caleb Anderson, who leads Mariners Church in Huntington Beach, California. He's author of the book, Favor with Kings, God's Purpose, Your Passion, and the Process of Doing Great Things. Caleb, welcome to the program.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And great job with that alliteration there. You got purpose, passion, process in your title. That's impressive.
Yeah, that subtitle just wrote itself.
Yeah. So, all right. So you're serving the Lord in Southern California. I mean, you're not fooling anybody. I mean, you're not going to pretend that you're suffering for Jesus down in Southern California. Tell us a little bit about your church.
I will tell you, though, it's 100 degrees in Huntington Beach today. It's kind of unheard of. It's a very unusually hot day.
Caleb, don't try to get any sympathy from this network is in 38 states,
right.
Almost 200 stations, but our headquarters, our flagship station, is in Tupelo, Mississippi. So don't even try to get any sympathy from anyone in the South. Because if it's hot, that hot in Huntington Beach, and I'm sure you're telling the truth, you're probably in shorts. Are you in shorts right now?
I am in shorts and sandals. Yeah.
You know, okay. This is why we're here, to get into arguments about weather with our guests.
With our guests. My apologies.
And run him off here. Pastor Caleb is with us from Southern California. Tell us about your book, Favor with Kings. What's it about?
Well, I have the privilege of leading Mariners Church in Huntington Beach, and there's four Mariners churches, and Mariners Irvine is the original. It's been around for 50 years, and Kenton Beshore is the senior pastor there, and he asked me to come on and to take over leadership of this church in Huntington that was brand new but was struggling to get going. And I didn't know if I could do it, frankly. I'd never been lead pastor before. I had never preached every Sunday before. Those were new things for me. And so I kind of stepped into it, or was praying about it, with, you know, some humility and some modest concern that I would be able to do the job. And I felt like God brought to mind the story of Nehemiah. And I jumped into that story and started to read it, maybe for the first time, with real intention. And the principles of Nehemiah's journey were just leaping off the pages to me, and really became my field manual for leading this church. I took the staff through it, and they got just enamored with it. It was inspiring to them. And really, the entire first year, we mostly, in our staff times and devotional times, we mostly just stayed in Nehemiah and felt like God was inviting us to use that as a template for how to do a great work with him. And we saw a great work. I mean, we're 4.5 years in. We've seen incredible blessings. And the principles and the methods that Nehemiah used and employed, they just kind of continued to inspire me, and I continued to write, and this thing just evolved into a book.
Like what, for instance?
Well, I'll tell you just the first couple of things that you see right in chapter one is that Nehemiah, he's got this comfortable gig in the Persian palace. He works for the most powerful man in the world, King Artaxerxes, and he's the taste tester, right? So we know him as the cupbearer, but really he's more of like the head of security for Artaxerxes, which is amazing because he's Jewish and Artaxerxes is Persian, and Artaxerxes' dad, Xerxes, was killed by a staff member in his own bedroom. So Artaxerxes has his antenna up. He doesn't trust many people, like people in power usually don't. But he trusts Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah has a good gig. He's comfortable. He's probably got a loft in the palace of Persia. And he eats and drinks like a king. And so when his brother, Hanani, and some other dudes show up from Jerusalem and they say it's terrible back in Jerusalem, Nehemiah didn't really have incentive to help or to do anything about it. He had a good gig going. But Nehemiah believed that bad news is the genesis of breakthroughs, and he leaned in to that bad news, And then from there, he cultivated conviction. The scripture says that he prayed and he fasted and he mourned for days. And he developed this conviction inside of him. And I believe that God spoke to him in that season. And he knew that he had to do something. So he prayed for favor. You see it in chapter 1, that he prays for favor. I believe it's verse 11. He prays for favor with King Artaxerxes. He realizes that favor comes from God, but through kings. That there's a person of influence in all of our lives that we could use favor from, a blessing, an endorsement, an investment, some kind of very real blessing. But Nehemiah realizes that even though it comes through a person in authority, it comes from God. So he prays to God for favor, and then he prepares. And when Artaxerxes, the most powerful man in the world at the time, is looking at him and says, okay, what do you want? Nehemiah is ready. And he lists, okay, I'm going to need this, 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 this. And this is my timeline. And there's just so much, you know, gold in that, because so many people, they either pray or they plan, right? They don't do both. They pray and they just sit around and go, God will take care of it. Or they don't think to pray and they just hustle and make to-do lists and leave God out of it, forgetting that there's so much that's out of their control. And Nehemiah is a great example. No, those are just the first, few verses. And I've got 30 chapters that kind of highlight each one of those principles in favor with kings.
You know, Caleb, of course, I love the book of Nehemiah. Many Christians do. Nehemiah, as far as I can tell, maybe you have studied it, you have studied it more, maybe you know differently, but he didn't, I don't think it looks like he understood what he was about to embark on and how he would become a favorite to both Jews and Christians down throughout the ages. So here's just kind of an opinion question. Do people like that who wind up having a very public, very, impactful purpose, do you think they know that ahead of time, or they just discover it as it begins to unfold? Or some might never know what the purpose was, but God wound up using them in a mighty way. Do you see what I'm saying? Do people know they have this purpose ahead of time and pray and walk into it, or do they just seem to take the first step and then find out what God has for him?
I know what you're saying, and that's an interesting question. My opinion is that it's probably both. That there's some instances where people have a sense that the decision that they're about to make, I mean, in Nehemiah's case, leaving the incredible favor that he has with the Persian king working at his right hand, and for the most powerful man, that's unique. And to give that up, you've got to be pretty convinced that this is from God, that you know that you have to do this. And so I would imagine that there was probably some sense of clarity, destiny. Now, there's no way that he knew that we would be reading what he terms as his memoirs,
right?
Thousands and thousands of years later. However, I think that some people often have just a sense like this is a pivotal decision that I'm making, and I think that the ripple effects will really go. Although I would also suggest that we probably only ever see like 20% of the impact that God has through our lives. I think that that's probably true of everybody.
All right, so here's a question that probably a lot of pastors get asked, okay, and especially when you're dealing with the question of God's purpose for our lives, okay? Explain how waiting on God comes to both be important but also trouble us as Christians, because I would guess that any Christian who feels like they have a purpose— a door may be opening, may not. How do you know when waiting is just procrastinating or waiting on God is part of the purpose that God has for us?
Absolutely. There's a tension there, and there's a fine line and maybe even a gray area. And I call it in the book, intentional waiting versus scared stalling. There might be some close friends that can be able to shed some light on that, but probably just in our own hearts, we know is this intentional preparation? Am I seeking God? Am I praying and fasting? Am I learning in wait? Am I studying the issues, the problem, the people? Am I really in a preparatory season because I don't want to get out ahead of God? Or has he made it clear and I'm just dragging my feet? Do I just have anxiety? Do I know what my next step is, but I'm operating in some kind of fear or insecurity? That's probably a matter of the heart. And he certainly, God does, leaves us in seasons of preparation, often longer than we want to. And at the same time, we have this human thing in us that when we're fearful, when we're not sure that we can do it, we tend to drag our feet. So I think that there's that fine line, and we probably know when we read books like Nehemiah, when we hear testimonies, stories of people that have taken leaps of faith or that are preparing to, I think we just kind of know in our spirit, if God's spirit is in us, that where we are on that spectrum.
All right, we have tons of questions we'd love to ask you. Can you take just 60 seconds, this is unfair, and talk about the place of pain in the life of a Christian? Because we are almost out of time.
Absolutely. I'll try to do it in less than 60 seconds. So we talk about pain in Favor with Kings. We talk about pain being repurposed, that God is the only person who specializes in bringing good out of bad. He's the only one that specializes in bringing hope out of hurt and healing out of tragedy. He doesn't make those bad things good, but he redeems them and works them for good. And so one of the things that you see in the story of Nehemiah is that his heart breaks. His heart breaks over his people, and then he prays and he fasts and he goes deeper into it to really cultivate that conviction. And so I encourage people in Favor with Kings and when I'm teaching on Sundays and meeting with folks to look for the areas of your own story where pain can be repurposed. Look for the areas of your own story where your heart has broken, because there are hints in your history that are telling you something about your future. And it's the journey and the story that God has allowed for our lives. It's informing what we do in the future. And God will not waste our pain. And instead, he will utilize it. Bad news is the genesis of breakthroughs, like I said. He will utilize that pain in the service of someone else. And I advocate that we each have a mission from God that motivates us and matters to somebody else. Whatever it is that we do, God is using us to bless other people.
Our guest has been Caleb Anderson, who's the pastor of Mariners Church in Huntington Beach, California. He's written the book, Favor with Kings, God's Purpose, Your Passion, and the Process of Doing Great Things. Caleb, do you have a website that people can go to if they might want to invite you to a conference or if they want to read something else you've written?
Absolutely. Well, there's favorwithkings.com, and they can get all the Favor with Kings resources right there and order the book right there. And then also Caleb Anderson, S-O-N, .tv is a place where I'm easy to get a hold of.
All right. Caleb, thank you so much. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Okay, we're out of time. Thank you. Very interesting. So,
yeah.
The book of Nehemiah.
Lot
to learn.
As a springboard for his discussion of God's purpose and the process of doing great things. A lot of Christians are interested. They want to do something for God, and Nehemiah is one of those books where you can learn a lot. And so Caleb Anderson, S-O-N at the end, Favor with Kings, good place to start.
It's the title of his book, Favor with Kings. Hey, thanks for, I think like Hillary Clinton there started yelling, didn't I? Thank you for listening to this program. We'll see you tomorrow.